Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, Stu Whiffin, and it's another episode. It's another week. Thanks for your ongoing support, and thanks for returning to listen to more episodes. Or if it's your first encounter with this podcast, hopefully you'll enjoy and have a little look in the back catalogue. So, today's guest, it's lovely Gal Porter. So I've met Gal many times now, and every time I catch up with Gal, it's never anything but fun, interesting, and she's just an all-round lovely lady. So when I decided I was going to do this podcast alongside the other one, it was a no-brainer that I was going to invite Gal along. And so much of Gal's life's been documented in the media, and it's just nice to talk about some other bits and pieces with Gal and get a bit of backstory on her upbringing and her creativity and the things that shaped that career and creativity. So it's a really nice episode, and it was recorded at the book club in Shoreditch. Unlike a lot of the episodes that we record at their sister venue, the Hoxton Square Bar, the book club has a little bit of background noise, so don't let that put you off. It's just people having a cup of coffee and a chat. It was a secluded room, but you might hear a little bit of rustling in the background, but it certainly doesn't affect the quality of Gal's chat. So before we get on with it, just a quick shout out to everybody over at the Distraction Pieces Network, and a big thanks to my producer, Mr. 76. Big thanks to Brad Acton and My Name Is Ad for artwork and video. And I think that's it. I think we can just get straight on with the podcast. This is Off the Beaten Track with Miss Gal Porter. 76, drop the intro. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Right, we are recording, and we are in the book club, not recorded here before, so you might hear a little bit of background noise, because we're in a little room on the side, but there is music in the main area, so it's a nice little, got a little beat to it, this podcast, so I'm enjoying that. Thank you to the book club for letting us record there. The book club is also the place where myself and Pippi Kins do our club night. We are lizards, so if you do want to see what it looks like, why not come down to our club night every other month? But back to the job at hand, which is today's guest, lovely Gal Porter.
Hello. It's so lovely to see you. You're looking very wonderfully fit and healthy.
I'm going to take that.
Yeah, take it.
Thank you very much.
Get on a t-shirt.
Absolutely. I'm not being complimentary to Gal, because I've already told her that she looks lovely today.
Thank you so much. I did my hair especially for you.
It looks incredible.
Just
it
that
looks
one incredible.
And I'll tell you, before we go into it, obviously you brought me a lovely display of, I've got a buffet, so I've got some refreshers, I've got some Haribo, I've got some counters, and I've got some Lego stickers, which I will open in the duration of this podcast.
Yeah, but so, you know that they were free, so I'm not going to take the thanks for that, but everything else I did pay for.
Okay, it's much appreciated. That's my worth, £2.50. You mentioned you've done your hair. Before we get into it, the last time I spoke to you...
Yeah.
You went on TV in a wig.
I did. Well, do you know, it was a weird thing because I got contacted by a wig company and I've always said I won't wear a wig because it doesn't make me comfortable. But then this company, they work with a lot of people that are going through cancer, chemotherapy, you know, and alopecia. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to be bald. Like, I'm quite happy with it. And so I thought, do you know what? I'll wear it for a day and go, yeah, you can get this, and, you know, put them in touch with the company. And it's so weird when you go in the telly box and you say to them, I'm not wearing this every day, I'm wearing it today. And then in the papers, it's like, Gail Porter wears wig forever. And you're going, no, it was for a day to say, this is, you can contact me and I can tell you if you want one, you can get one.
Mm.
So obviously I'm not wearing it today with this being like not like visual. I definitely don't have it. But yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, you can get one.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that come up to me and say, you know, I'm not as comfortable as you. That's the police just leaving now.
That was the weak police.
Yeah. That was the weak police just like behind us going, where is it? It was a big drama. But
how did it feel going on TV in a week? Because you got quite emotional when you walked out, and it was on Loose Women, right?
Yeah, it was on Loose Women, and yeah, I did get a bit emotional because I think it was kind of like a mixture of things. It's like I have not had hair for what 13, 14 years, and it was, you know, fun to have it and weird because I looked like the old me. And then I wasn't sure if I was comfortable it was just like a whole mix of it. And then when suddenly you walk on and everyone's like, oh, you look so lovely. And then, so you think, well, do I not look lovely without it? So it was a kind of a whole mixed bag of emotions. And you just, yeah. And also you just don't know how to put it into words because you've got like, 3 minutes or something?
Sure.
To go, yeah, wig, you can get it. And then I just took it off and went home.
Yeah.
Had a cry. Listen to some music.
And phone me up.
And then phone you. I know. I love you. Oh my God. I had hair.
Right. Well, I didn't plan on talking about that, but when you mentioned you'd done your hair and the last conversation we had was about that, so I thought I'd talk about that. Why?
I'm not worried because you've actually got a sheet in front of you. You've never done that before.
No, I haven't, have I?
You haven't. This is like, I feel like I'm on Parkinson, but like a really shit Parkinson. I'm joking.
That's the name of, that's what I'm going to call this episode. Gail Porter with shit Parky. No, this is the sheet of paper I have is just a reference to your songs.
Oh, really?
That you've chose.
Because I didn't bring it, because I forgot what I told you.
That's why I do it.
I know, that's why you do it. That's why I told you. And I actually, like, I made a conscious effort, didn't I? Mm-hmm. And I sent you everything.
You did. We're super organised now. So
you are, I'm not.
Yeah, I'll carry you for this bit. We'll be fine. So for track one, I always ask the guests which is the song with the greatest intro, because that obviously seems fitting that we start the playlist with the intro. And can you remember what you chose for this one?
Was it Purple Rain?
It was Purple Rain.
Oh, yes, I remembered something. I'm getting really old. I don't remember stuff. Yeah, do you know what? Prince was, when I was growing up, I was completely in love with him. I just thought he's the same height as me, and he's uber talented, which I'm not. And there was just something about him. Every single song that he's done. I mean, he could play everything. He just played everything. And I remember saying to my mum, I can't remember how old I was, but I was like, the first concert I'm going to is Prince. And she's like, right, fine, get on a bus and go. Birmingham or wherever I went. And then I just went, every single time he was in the UK, I'd be on a bus and I'd just be like completely starstruck. And he didn't do shows like they do nowadays. He did a show that you'd walk away from, and you know, there was like, he had the revolving stage and he had like the car when he had the Corvette coming on, and just like,
but I think that's what separates the likes of Prince and Michael Jackson and people like that from other pop stars, because if you look at Prince, and as you said, he, you know, played all the instruments. I think on the first album he wrote, produced and played all 26 instruments.
Everything.
And let's not overlook the fact he sung it. And his voice is incredible. And then you then get on stage and you can dance like...
And have those guitars and just everything. Mm. It was like a proper you're just like, you're actually a genius.
Yeah.
You are a genius.
Yeah. I think that's undeniable.
He's sadly missed, and yeah, I've got every single album. I even got, you know, like, do you remember when you used to get picture discs and stuff? I've got them as well. I've got everything. I was a proper fan.
Yeah, he's. Yeah. I never got to see Prince, and
never.
No, and it was because Pip's a huge Prince fan, absolutely obsessed, and he's got a massive picture of Prince on his wall in his house, and
right, it's not in his bedroom.
No, it's okay, just mirrors on the wall in there. Just mirrors and an array of fake beards.
Just like all mirrors.
Yeah. He's actually got some mirrors in his bathroom, which are fantastic. Can you remember them?
Goodness me, I don't want to. Do I want to know?
Yeah, no. Can you remember them? Like,
please play them. They're overhead, like overhead.
They're above the toilet, so you can look at yourself while you're having a wee.
Oh my God.
You can only look at your face, obviously.
Why would you want to do that?
Because.
Oh no! There can't be an answer to this.
No, it's pretty decent. So, know them like retro mirrors that you used to be able to win at fairgrounds that were like red and silver,
yeah,
but with like a celebrity's sort of silhouette type
and
thing on it.
I never won one. Did you win one?
No.
I got an effing goldfish.
I had one.
Fish.
I had one of the Fonz. Right.
I love the Fonz.
It's the coolest, right?
Yeah, of course.
Pip's got Travolta, Saturday Night Fever, mirror. I mean, that's pretty cool. That warrants pride of place above your urinal.
But I told you I interviewed Travolta, so I'm one up on Pip.
Did you talk about that on our podcast, Travolta?
Yeah, you forgot, didn't you? Yeah.
Did you? I don't think you did.
Did you not? Yeah, no, I did. I interviewed him.
Which one? Oh, of course, that's when you talked about doing the duet with him.
Yes, we sang.
Of course, when,
we sang
yeah,
together.
Because you sang it in the school play and then brought it up with him, yeah.
How funny is that? So, Pip, I win. But yeah, I like to see the mirror, but not in the bathroom. That's a bit weird.
Yeah. But do you know what? Every time I go in there, it's
what, in the toilet.
Well, every time I go around Pip's quite a bit, so you know.
All right, I just let you just like hang out in his toilet.
I just think I'm gonna go and have a wee, and like, and obviously
do you take a selfie.
I know, but the thing is, I keep thinking I want to take a photo of that, but then I also think, what if I take the photo and I catch me knob in the reflection in the mirror?
Just Instagram it, mate.
No
just
one needs to see that.
It.
Could that be the only time I could make John Travolta look uncool? Oh, brilliant.
Funny.
All right, look, we'll get on a track two because we're going to keep with the Prince theme on this. And it was the first song that you remember having an emotional impact on you, and you went for When Doves Cry by Prince. And so, in regards to that, like, how did like Prince have an emotional sort of effect on you? In what way? Joyous or like reflective? Or can you remember how it made you feel?
I think it was more reflective than anything. Well, obviously, it was just I was completely overwhelmed by his talent, and every song I listened to, you know, you can listen to an album and you go, yeah, well, track 5 was great, track 7 was great. You listen to everything Prince does and you're just like, you've done nothing wrong at any point whatsoever. There's nothing that you can say is shit. And so, yeah, I just kind of had that. And then...
How old was you when you sort of heard Prince? Like,
I can't remember. I was probably maybe like 14 or 15 or something like that.
So they're kind of important years, right? That's when you kind of sort of...
This is when you're kind of going through that, I hate everyone.
Yeah.
But you don't really, but you just say it. You go, I love you, but I hate you. And then you sort of turn to music. So I was going through the Smiths, and that was my depressive stuff that I was doing. And then you go to Prince, and he'd kind of do... He'd make you think and make you cry, but also make you extremely happy at the same time. Whereas the Smiths would never do that.
No.
They're never going to make you smile at any point whatsoever.
Well, so, I know you like the Smiths.
Yeah. I did.
You did? Okay. Why is that? Is that because of some of the dumb shit that Morrissey can say now? He said some ridiculous shit, Morrissey.
Yeah, it's kind of like sometimes... You know, when you've got an idol, you never want to meet them.
Yeah.
And also, just don't speak.
Yeah. I'm smothered in Smith's tattoos, and it's... They're
Have you? Show me. Where? Oh, but that's beautiful. And
thank you.
I've just seen him naked, by the way, everyone.
That's it. I've got Morrissey's eyes and nose just above my penis.
And I've just seen it.
I mean, not directly. I reflected it in a mirror of John Travolta. I've had to sort of separate the Smiths' music from Morrissey because I love the Smiths.
It was amazing, but it's just sometimes when people get, I don't know, just have these idealistic, you know, thoughts that they want to just tell everyone, like, this is how I, which is fine that people do that, but sometimes they just talk utter shit.
Yeah.
And then it kind of puts you off the music.
Yeah.
And I, do you know what, I think sometimes, I don't know, I kind of like musicians to do their thing.
Yeah.
And just go, this is how I am.
Yeah.
And this is my music and this is a fabulous.
Yeah.
And then you can just go with it. And then I think music is one of those things that you take into your heart and you make it your own thing.
Yeah.
So when suddenly people start like mouthing off about stuff that you don't really want to listen to, does that make sense?
Completely. And I think a lot of that is magnified because with people like Morrissey and Michael Stipe and, you know, throughout the 80s and early 90s and stuff like that, they were very elusive, you know, that they weren't big talkers to the press. And
I think that's
and
the
so
thing.
That mystique builds an interest in anything they say. So when they do say stuff now, I think it's just so magnified. And
well, I think that if you want to say stuff like that, say it to your mates.
Yeah.
Don't put it out there because, you know, you've got a wonderful career and people are loving your music.
Yeah.
Don't kind of, well, I mean, obviously people want to make statements about certain things, and if it's extremely relevant, then of course, but if you're going to talk utter bollocks, you just go to the pub.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, going back to your early days, whereabouts was you born?
I was born in Edinburgh.
Okay.
Edinburgh.
We spoke about Edinburgh a lot, haven't we? You gave me lots of pointers on where to go when on my recent road trip to Edinburgh. Sent me to a pizza bar, which was
Gordon's.
Yeah.
Gordon's, yeah.
I had haggis pizza.
Did you?
Does it get any more Scottish?
I don't know. Amazing. Can you? Because I took my daughter to Edinburgh during the festival, and every single restaurant we went to, it was like haggis for breakfast, haggis pizza, haggis on toast. And she was like, what is wrong with you people? Like,
but it's really weird because
we love haggis. Well, I don't eat meat, but
right.
But I'll have vegetarian haggis.
Yeah. I love it.
But it's such a proper Highlander food.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know what haggis is?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, it's well, you could, yeah.
It's awful, basically, isn't
it? Yeah, it's awful, and, like, and it's wrapped in the lining of sheep's stomach.
Yeah.
It is pretty much like freedom, but without Mel Gibson,
great.
Because he should never have played that part, because he's American.
Who should have played that part?
Me.
Oh, there is nothing I would like to see more than a remake of Braveheart starring Gal Porter.
Stick on beard.
And I like it when your voice goes from Gal Porter's voice to when you do your mum's voice, which goes uber Scottish then.
Uber Scottish.
You'd have to adopt that voice for
I
the
know
part.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, when I go back to Edinburgh, I have to like change my accent, but when I'm in London, people don't understand when I'm really Scottish.
Yeah.
So when I go back to Scotland, they're all like, oh, you sound really like English. And I was like, okay, so then I change it, and then I come back, and they're going, we can't understand what you're saying. So I'm going, right, another thing, right? And they went for haggis, and it was really funny, and then I'm a Highlander! And they're going, I don't know what happened there. No idea what happened there. And I was like, okay, right. Then you calm it down.
So growing up in Edinburgh, at home, like before you'd sort of got to the age where you was buying records and stuff like that, was there music on at home?
Yeah. I'm only laughing because, like, we have Hogmanay, you know, your new year, and my mum and dad had this album, which I've still got, and it was called Pipe Dreams.
Amazing.
And it was just bagpipes.
Yeah.
And they made us, well, they taught us a dance, and me and my wee brother used to dance to Pipe Dreams. And I loved that album. And also, I was like dancing around to that. But the John Lennon, I think, was the one thing that I remembered, because when John Lennon was shot, I remember everyone crying in the house.
Really?
Your mum was playing Imagine, and it was all a bit kind of confusing as to what was going on. And Elvis, I think she played a lot of as well. But no, they weren't massive music. I think Jerry and the Pacemakers, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was kind of like, I kept myself to myself, so I had a room upstairs and they would do that. I just remember like pipe music and people crying over people being, yeah.
So have you got siblings?
Have I got?
Like brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got a wee brother.
Are we younger?
That's little in Scottish.
Right, okay.
So he's 40.
Subtitles are available on this podcast.
Wee, okay. he's 47.
Oh, okay, so...
He wasn't really a big music fan.
Right, because a lot of guests I've had on have kind of, my brother or my sister like that, so I used to nick his records or her records and such, so...
He was a raver.
Oh, okay.
he used to like dance for rave bands and
stuff. Oh, really?
Yeah, did all that kind of weird... Yeah, teenage movements. I don't know what they were doing, but
well, we get on to the kind of club culture thing and clubbing and stuff as we move through this. But just going back to like When Doves Cry, I mean that was an entry point for me for Prince, because Purple Rain, the film, come out, and I just remember.
You know what did you think about the film when it came out?
In all honesty,
yeah.
I thought it was amazing. And I still think it's absolutely amazing.
I love it still. But cheesy.
Beyond cheesy. But Apollonia coming out of that lake with her boobs out was just a rite of passage for me and so many of my mates. It was like...
That was when I didn't even know where I was going at that point. Right. Which route am I taking here?
It was amazing because, you know, apart from like, you know... Everyone used to love Princess Leia, and occasionally, if there was a video nasty of Porky's going around, you know, you might see like, you know, a semi-naked lady or something. But Prince, it was music, it was cool, and there was a bird with boobs as well, and it was like...
Whatever happened to her, do you know?
No idea.
Because
I hope she didn't drown.
What was the name of the girls?
Wendy and Lisa.
Wendy and Lisa. So I went to see them at one point as well. This is how much of a fangirl I was. And then I bought all their albums. I think they had like two or three. Well, I think they probably had more than that, but I only got a couple of them. But I quite liked them.
Yeah, they were wicked.
I don't know what happened to them. And also, who was the other band? The Time.
The Time. Morris Day.
Morris Day. I bought that album as well.
I have got... there's a track by The Time called Jerk Out, and it's the best song.
I don't know if I know that one.
It came out in about 91, and it's just amazing. It's because The Time, as well as Morris Day, was Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam that were the big producers that produced all the big sort of that swing beat stuff, like Alexander O'Neill and all
so
stuff like
good.
That.
When you came out, and it's like, oh, I was just like, I kind of love you. This is amazing. Oh, my God.
If you don't know what Morris Day looks like, if you go to Hackney and see kind of people walking around in kind of quite colourful outfits and bizarre little pencil moustaches, that's what he looked like.
He was so cool. But it's, do you know, it's one of those films that I watched it, loved it, and I watched it again with a friend of mine, and she wasn't a Prince fan, and she was like, what is this? So you can understand, it's like a Marmite film, but oh my gosh, I still watch it to this day. I've got it, and I've still got it in VHS.
So have I. And I think
we're so old.
I know. But I think if you're not a Prince fan or grew up watching Purple Rain and stuff like that, and what was the other films? It's Graffiti Bridge and
Graffiti Bridge.
And Under the Cherry Moon.
Under the Cherry Moon, yeah.
Yeah. And
I've got them all. But
he was just obsessed with it all. But do you know what? My favourite Prince song is the B-side of When Doves Cry. It's a track called 17 Days.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, and I absolutely adore it.
Have you got the Black album?
Yeah, I've got.
Is it Black album?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah.
And
I was literally like, when I moved to London, I was like, I've got to find this. I have to find this album. Yeah. And then I found it, and it's still in its cover.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Amazing. Right. Right, well, we're going to move on a little bit now to your school, your time at school, and you've gone for two tracks for this one. You've gone, because I asked you which is the song that reminds you of school days, and you've gone for "Come on, Eileen" by Dexys, and "Last Night I Dreamt Somebody Loved Me" by the Smiths. So, looking at that and thinking of the time scales, is Dexys kind of junior school and the Smiths senior school?
Yeah. That would have been it. So what happened with Dexys is we went to the school disco and you know the song, come on Eileen, da, 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 I can't sing, but then it gets faster and faster, and so as an awkward teenage girl, well, almost teenage girl, you do that sidestep dance, you know, and thinking, and you got your hands by your sides.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're doing because you're so embarrassed, and then suddenly it gets faster.
Please tell me you changed the moves.
It gets faster and faster, and I've got my.
You're
hands
talking about the two-ra-loo-ra-two-ra. Yeah.
And it gets faster and faster, and so I was thinking, I don't know what to do. So my feet are just going from side to side, side to side, side to side, really, really fast, like I'm going to go on fire. And I've got my hands down by my side, and I was like, please make it slow down, please make it slow down, and he goes, come on. I was like, thank God for that.
Because I think that bit when it all speeds up, ain't that the bit where you sort of meant to do like the running on the spot kind of thing?
I
to kind
so,
of.
But I wasn't cool enough to know what was
fantastic.
I just kept doing the side to side to side to side, and I just kept going faster. It was so
was you aware that maybe the rest of the school was thinking, what the fuck is that girl doing?
Well, that's why I got picked on.
So in regards, let's start with junior school then. Like, did you enjoy it?
What, school? Yeah, I mean, do you know what? I was, I just loved learning, and it was okay. I got picked on a little bit.
Why?
I think we were kind of like in a school that was sort of differentiated. There was like council house kids, and then there was like, my mum was doing all right, mum and dad was, so it was just a bit weird, and also I had really long hair, so they were kind of like pulling it, how ironic, but do you know, it was just kid stuff, so it was good, and I got, and also I was one of those kids at school, and I think I told you this before, that I would actually put my hand up before the teacher had actually said the end of the, like the question.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the
Yeah.
question?
Was you one of them ones that didn't just put your hand up? Did you kind of sort of pull yourself up off the seat trying to?
Like,
yeah. Oh, God, you must
and
have
then,
been annoying.
Yeah, I was really annoying. I was so annoying. And then I told you about that note we got. So it was going round, everybody. And it's like, you know, Ian Bristow is an FFF. And so, you know, when they passed notes, they got to me, and I was like, I don't understand what that means. And then my teacher said, you know what? What is that note? And I was like, well, I don't know. Someone's just put it on. I don't know, miss. It's not me, miss. And then she's like, what does it mean? And then one of the girls said, oh, it means that Ian felt somebody's fanny, so he's a phantom fanny feeler. I was like, no, actually, I put my hand up, and I went, no, that's a PFF.
How did you have any friends?
I didn't have any whatsoever. I know I've told you that story before, but every time I think about my school days, I'm just like, it's ingrained in my mind, just going, what a total twerk.
So you went to school in Edinburgh?
Yeah, I went to school in Edinburgh. I was in Portobello, which is down by the seaside, which is lovely. And then I went to Portobello High School, which has unfortunately been demolished now, so it's not there anymore. Well, that wasn't my fault. I didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't do it.
So, when you got to secondary school, was there, obviously you was around different people then. Did you find that, you know, your taste in music and the people you were hanging around, did that sort of, you know, how did that develop and change?
Well, I think that's when I got into the Smiths, because our secondary school was huge. I think there was something like 1,850 pupils. So you couldn't really get into relationships with people because there was just people everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was quite daunting as well. And there was a lot of rebellious kids and there was a lot of studious kids. And so it was kind of, it was very odd. And so I was just quite happy to get home and listen to my music and study and just think, I just want this to be over and done with.
So you didn't necessarily feel a connection with anyone at school?
I mean, I had friends, but... Yeah, no, it was too big, and it was just overwhelming, I think. So, but yeah, I still have friends, but from there, but not that kind of, I just wanted to go home at, you know, when it finished.
And listen to the Smiths.
Listen to the Smiths and go, last night I dreamt that somebody, and my dad's like, that's, switch it down!
Morrissey understands me. Oh, brilliant. But do you know what, there's something comforting, isn't there, about, you know, if you're feeling a little bit excluded, bands like the Smiths, they're just waiting to be delved into, aren't they?
But they're quite dangerous in the same way, because you can get really down. Mm. I mean, I remember nights going to sleep and just thinking, oh my gosh, as a teenager, thinking, yeah, I wish somebody loved me. And you're just like, you know, when you get older, you realise it's a song and you've got amazing lyrics.
Yeah.
But when you're a teenager, you take everything to heart, you know. And just like Gangman style.
Of course.
I'm joking.
But the thing is, with teen angst, I look back at it now and, you know, I had my years at the Smiths and the Cure and feeling, you know, God, nobody loves me, nobody understands me. And you know, and I look back now and I'm quite glad I went through that.
Yeah, and absolutely. Like,
but we've both got children of the same age. So how would you feel now if you... your daughter was immersing herself in the Smiths and music like that. How would you approach that?
She loves the Smiths, she loves the Cure, but she's literally the happiest girl in the world because we just laugh all the time. But she's kind of gone down the whole Nirvana.
Amazing.
Yeah. So she's really cool, and I took her to see the Killers, but then also we went to see Bruno Mars, which was
at Hyde Park.
Yeah.
I was there.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you? Yeah. I didn't see you.
No, it was quite weird.
How did you know that?
I was probably the tallest person there. And do you know what? I think that's the closest, Prince fans are going to lynch me, the closest I'm ever going to get to seeing Prince.
Do you know what? He was an absolute diamond performer. He was...
ridiculous.
He was really small.
Yep.
But the thing is, there was a girl behind me, and Honey was taller, my daughter was taller than me. So she stands out. She knows all the songs. Me, I... don't know many. And so every song that I knew, I'd turn around and go to everyone, I know this one, and I was dancing. But he was a great performer.
Yeah.
And did you see the guys that were performing in the afternoon before him?
What, that looked like the Temptations?
Yes.
Do you know who he is?
Well, he's someone really, really famous.
Yeah, because I walked in at that point and I thought, and he kept saying, I'm fucking blah blah blah, I'm motherfucking blah blah blah, and I was thinking, I don't know who you are. And then he played Outstanding. And I thought, you're the singer in the Gap Band.
That's the one, Gap Band. But he also did, like, backing vocals for everyone. Because he went through this whole thing saying, I got into drugs and drink, and then I was homeless, and then I've got my new wife.
He was phenomenal, wasn't he?
He was phenomenal. And the whole people, every single person on the stage were just dancing like it was just the best day in the world ever.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
I know, my daughter was saying to me, I don't understand why they weren't right before Bruno Mars.
Because the fella that was on before Bruno Mars...
I don't even know who that person
was. Khalib or something like that.
No idea.
No, nor did I, but really boring.
Oh, it was so incredibly boring.
It was just really...
It got to that stage because we'd managed to get right down to the front and I was thinking, oh no, this is the time that I'm so bored I need to piss and I can't lose my seat.
Yeah.
And he's boring.
Yeah.
I don't know who he was.
No, I didn't. And
it was awful.
It was really boring.
And I think he had someone from like his local school dancing for him.
I've no
idea. Did you see that?
No, I zoned off. I actually did go for a piss at that point. I went the week before. I went and saw the Cure the week before. And that was, I mean, that were two very different gigs. But that was amazing. That was like,
I didn't go. So good. I kinda wish I'd go and see that. I couldn't get tickets.
Oh, it was cracking. I met up with all my friends I grew up with. And we all just had this kind of reunion watching the band we grew up with and got absolutely hammered. And they played just everything that you wanted to hear.
I was so jealous. I was thinking, I tried every single route and no one could get me tickets.
Yeah.
But the Killers were amazing.
Yeah.
They put on a proper... amazing show.
I saw some footage of the Killers at Glastonbury this year, and as an indie DJ, I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit tired of playing the Killers and being asked to play Mr. Brightside. But I saw them on TV at Glastonbury playing Mr. Brightside, and it looked like someone had set him on fire. It was amazing. They were playing with such aggression and energy. It was absolutely brilliant.
This is the thing about live bands. I don't understand. I mean, it's amazing what they do, but coming out every single night and going, yeah, this is it. I am going to perform like it's the last day ever, where I'm just going, I am going to bed. I'm really, really tired. But, you know, I think some people forget how much bands... good bands
yeah.
give back to the fans, and they give it 100%. And nowadays, you know, I remember doing Top of the Pops, and there was like a one-off band that did something, and I was just getting to the stage. There was sort of great bands, great brands, and then brands, and then it got to this one band that was number one, and never heard of them, never going to hear from them. And it's like, hi, it's Gail Porter, it's number one, it's Top of the Pops, and I'm really sorry, I don't know who you are, I've forgotten. And their wee faces are like, oh, do you know what? I just like good bands that know what they're doing,
yeah.
and... you know, respectful and respectful of the people that actually like them.
Yeah.
So I know that the only thing that annoys me is the price of tickets.
It's ridiculous now.
I tried to get tickets to the Arctic Monkeys because that's my daughter's favourite yeah. band. It was like 300 quid a ticket.
You have a laugh.
Yeah, because it was last minute.
Yeah.
So people are selling it. So I don't know if it's like, but they were selling it on and selling it on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, do you know what? I just wanted to take her to see a band.
Do you know what? I've got so many, I've kept all my concert tickets from when I was a kid and stuff like
Did
that.
You?
Oh, I've kept everything. Can you remember when you used to get like CDs in the 90s, you used to get like a little insert and it was a free post thing. If you want more information on this band,
oh, yeah.
post.
Did you do that? Oh, I did that.
Always, yeah. But each time I do it, I put a ridiculous name for myself.
And so what was the most ridiculous name you gave yourself?
It was something to do with, it was Pat Wicks something. So I was going for my Pat Butcher phase. And my postman would knock on my door, because I used to get my promo CDs at the time, so they wouldn't fit through the letterbox, and he'd knock on my door and he'd be like, and he'd just, whatever name it was, he'd call me that, and I'd be like, thanks, mate, cheers. But what they used to do once you'd send that in is you'd then get sent like postcards and things like that for all their releases, and I've still got a box with all of it in, all the Blur and Oasis releases and Suede and stuff like that. I've kept everything.
Oh, do you know, it's so great. I always say to my daughter, you must say to your children, keep everything. As much as they go, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
No, keep it. Because when you get...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
At our age, you look back and go,
oh, absolutely.
That was great.
Absolutely.
Fun. That was really good fun.
Hello. I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off The Beat and Track Podcast, and you can listen to all the songs, because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode, so you've just got to press that one button and you can go through, and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. All right, well, look, track 4...
Oh, sorry, my gosh, I'll just keep talking.
It's fine. All right, it's the point where I ask you, what was the first record you remember buying?
Squeeze, Cool for Cats.
I mean, I've had some people come on here and have been really, really almost, was that really your first record? But then I've had also people say it was Shakin' Stevens. And And I mean, that's not super, super cool, but that's pretty cool, right? That's a good record.
Do you know what? I don't even know why, but there was like this really cool record shop, and I know exactly where it was. So you go down to Portobello High Street, then you take a left, and he was like right in the top before you go down to the beach, and he had this, he just had the single there, and I remember it having like wee dancing feet, like as if you were...
The sleeve, yeah.
Yeah, on the sleeve. And then I was just like, oh, and I had 50 pence, and so I bought it. So yeah, it wasn't like an uber cool thing to do, it was basically that dancing feet, and I've got 50 pence, and I'm going to the beach.
And what a joy when you put it on when you go home, because it's a great record.
It is a great record, and I've still got it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I love it.
I'm a big fan of Squeeze. I think they're... one of my favourite ever records, and it's my favourite ever intro, that would have been my intro, would be Up the Junction by Squeeze.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
I never thought it would happen with me and the girl from Clapham. Just that's how you start records. I love it. I think... I remember like the first time I saw the video for Call for Cats, and I just remember there's like two girls like dancing behind.
Yeah.
I think is it Tilbrook that sings that?
I can't remember. I've not seen the video for years.
And there's these two girls. Obviously, Jules Holland's still in the band then.
Yeah.
And I think he's got like a cigar on and a pair of sunglasses playing the keys.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And there's these two girls in like these sort of like red tops, just doing this really, really kind of energetic dancing and doing them vocals.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It was such a good single. I was quite happy with that.
Yeah, that's a great choice. So, can you remember what the record shop was called? Can you remember what the record shop was called?
Oh, I've got no idea. It was just like a local shop, and it obviously they don't exist anymore. It was like a tiny little... It was like one of... It was like a corner shop, but with records in it.
Yeah.
Which is such a shame. I love things like that.
So as you got a bit older, did you start to sort of find them little independent record shops, and did you become, you know, a bit of a vinyl nerd?
Oh, yeah, I loved my vinyls, but then I tended to go to bigger shops or... Because there was not many places where I was studying or wherever. It was kind of, you go to HMV
and you
just fill up your bag and then you just put it all in the wardrobe and it's still all there.
Yeah.
So, such a shame there's not these wee shops. I mean, there are still, but there's not as many as should be.
I was saying to Pip the other day that, you know, I don't know how this podcast would ever work as like a live thing. You know, like we do with Hardcore Listing, as you know, because you've kindly come on a couple of times, which has been great. But I think if I was to ever do it with this, I think I'd do it in a little independent record shop and just maybe invite sort of...
Do you have a favourite one? Are there any in Essex? Because I know there's a couple in Soho.
Yeah. You've still got, like, obviously London's, you know, still got a fair few, but
because I think they've got like an independent music weekend in Soho.
Oh, really?
That I went to a couple of...
What, like Record Store Day around then?
You just turn up and you just like hang out with the independent record stores. I don't know what the dates are, but I'm sure you can Google it. But yeah, I went one time and it's just basically people that still go and buy their vinyls from stores that are run by independents.
Oh, long live them.
Exactly. Do you know what? It's just...
And so... At this point, so you're getting into your music, and you're still in Edinburgh at this point, yeah?
Yeah.
So, had you started going to gigs?
I started going to... Well, my first gig was Madness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I remember asking my Auntie Susan, and I said, I just want to go and see Madness. And I'm still friends with Suggs now. Obviously, I didn't know him then, because I was, like, young. But I just wanted to go to that. So it was Madness, and then the second one was Susie and the Banshees, and then I think the third one was Sade.
Fucking hell, girl. That's pretty cool.
And then I went to see the Kids from Fame live.
Oh.
No, it was brilliant. I loved it.
Oh, mate. It's really weird, because my wife never watched Fame.
What?
And like, exactly.
She watched Grease?
Oh, yeah. She went and investigated that after you spoke about your interview with John Travolta.
Yeah.
But for me, like, Fame was just... I remember, because my first school disco my first ever slow dance, which will probably be the first record that emotionally affected me, was leaving junior school and having my first ever slow dance to Star Maker by
oh
the Kids
God,
from
I
Fame.
I can sing it to you. Do you
go for
sing
it. Go
with
for
me?
It.
No,
yeah.
you do it with me.
I can.
Come on, just do the first bit.
As it's Star Maker, dream. But the thing
I'm gonna love you now. Oh yeah, my God, I love that. I've still got it on vinyl.
I've got it on 7-inch. And I've also got the 12-inch of High Fidelity.
High Fidelity. With what was the name of the teacher? It was like the music teacher.
Mr. Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky.
It's hard to say I have a lisp, girl.
No, but do you remember when they had a song going, Tchaikovsky? I can't do it because I've got it.
Well, there was a Tchaikovsky song.
Yeah, I've got it. I'll give it to you.
Oh, brilliant.
I've got everything to do with the Kids from Fame because I wanted to be with them.
Everyone wanted it. When I was at school and I thought, I can't wait to go to college because I know that when it's lunchtime, we're all just going to be dancing on the tables in the canteen because that's what happens, right?
And you're all going to dance down the stairs going, hi, Fidelity.
I want to jump on the roof of a cab in the middle of the road.
Because that's what you do at college.
I want people to remember my name.
You're not going to get pissed on or shit by some bully, but you'll be on the roof of a cab. Yeah.
All right. Well, look. So, I mean, that's some serious entry level gigs. You know, Madness and Susie. That's amazing. Cool. So for the next one, you've left school. I hope you've left school. And we talk about the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing. 808 State.
Oh my gosh. 808 State.
So you're still in Edinburgh at this point?
No. 808 State. By that point, I'd gone down to London. I was in Watford, and I was at college, and then I was doing the whole raving thing.
So this would have been 89, 90, maybe 90?
Probably about then.
Yeah.
Anyway, I remember just going to a party in Manchester. Don't know how it happened, but, you know, when you're a teenager and you're at college, things happen. And also I was, I'll tell you the story. But anyway, ended up at this, like, horrendous, well, it was a great party, and 808 State were playing, and then it was just all weird and amazing and wonderful, and they're great. They were great. Are they still going?
I think so, yeah. I think they do a lot of these kind of 90s weekenders and things like that.
So I remember getting a call from someone from my college saying, where have you been for the past 4 weeks? And I was like, well, and they went, you know, you've got your, because I was doing film, and they went, you know, you've got to get your film in. And I said, well, what I've been doing is I'm filming drug culture and raves in Manchester. I wasn't at all. I was just thinking, what the fuck can I do in 24 hours and get this down on tape? So I was like, yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. And I literally went out, partied, filmed everybody, handed it in and passed everything.
Fair play to that.
I wasn't even there.
So, at that age, because I think as you sort of move through clubbing and you sort of go from your sort of your late teens into your early 20s, when you first started going clubbing, like, did that kind of mainstream clubbing ever appeal to you? Like the kind of sort of your tanny clubs where you'd go and hear what was on in the charts, or was you always looking for something a little bit more left field? Or
I think when I was about, we used to have a club, an under 18s club, and we're in Edinburgh, and I just found it really boring. I mean, apart from Come On Eileen, and I was extremely happy. Mm. And then
too happy with that dancing.
Very, very happy doing that big feet clapping thing, whatever I was doing. But then, yeah, and then I think the older I got, I just wanted to do the whole kind of DJ type, you know, we're having a party and we don't know what's coming next kind of thing. But I still love my music at home. So I'd get home and listen to Pink Floyd or whatever I was going to listen to. But I liked going out to clubs that you've got a DJ that doesn't know, you don't know what's
coming. And would you throw yourself into the environment? Would you embrace it?
Come on, really? Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Are you crazy? I was so there. I was usually on top of something. Oh my gosh, that sounds really bad.
Don't really want to take the podcast there.
On a speaker or something. I'd be dancing. I wish I was on top of something, but I wasn't on top of something. I was top of a speaker. I'd always be the one that was like dancing and just going, do you know what? I love it. Don't know what this song is, but I'll go with it. And I just like having fun and being happy.
Yeah. And then, so did you, I suppose as you start to sort of move through the 90s and obviously your career took off massively, and how did that affect clubbing? Because obviously I imagine there was
there must have been
parties that you can't, you know, every...
No, do you know what? I literally just stopped, really, because you couldn't really go out, and we're in a sort of era where everyone just wants to take pictures and it's not fun.
Yeah.
You want to go out like we used to do when we were kids and just genuinely have fun, let your hair down. Well, not me, but other people let their hair down. But you just like... You know, and it just doesn't happen anymore.
So,
because it's we're just, you know, people just want to take photos, not just of me, but just of everyone. There's, you know, people have to contact. When I went to see, I took my daughter to see Bruno Mars, and you couldn't see for phones, like people filming it, and you just think, put your phones down. This is an experience. Maybe take a picture. That's great.
Yeah.
But don't every single one of you film the whole thing, because we can't see over you.
I saw Madonna a few years ago at Hyde Park, and the woman in front of me held an iPad up for the whole gig, filming it. And I just thought, what's the fucking point?
Someone was doing that as well with the iPads. And I just, why would you do that?
Yeah. And so, you know, in those kind of, you know, let's say heady days of the 90s when, you know, you was living in Soho then?
Yes, I was, yeah.
And so, in regards to clubbing then, like, you know, was you conscious then that anything you done, people were watching you, and
I not so much then. I think we were all kind of just chilling out. Well, that's another one. We all went to the same places, and it was kind of you knew where everyone was hanging out, and you knew where it was cool to hang out, or well, not cool, but just safe. I think there's so many people that are in the public eye that complain that they get pictures taken and all the rest of it, but they go to all these really public places. So you're going to get your picture taken.
Yeah.
But when you live in a certain area, you know where your friends are, you know where's a good place to go, and you know where you can have a good laugh. So
yeah.
I still do that, you know. I still go to certain places that I know that you're just going to hang out with your mates.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's good to know. So in regards to, I mean, you touched on it then when you said about people having their phones at, you know, at clubs and things like that, and I guess you kind of, you know, I'd interpret that as maybe that whole thing of like, in this day and age, as you know, as a DJ and as a promoter, I look at a lot of people when they're out and they're clubbing, and rather than just enjoying it, they're filming themselves with their mates to give this perception that they're having the best time ever, and I think maybe the evolution of the phone and social media's got lots of good things to say for itself. But I think growing up, and we're very similar in age, that wasn't on our agenda, was it? We didn't have to tell anyone we was having a good time. We had no means to tell them apart from talking in their ear and going, this is good.
Exactly.
You know,
and I am guilty of occasionally, but the thing is, I tend to, if I take pictures of people, it's on a random night out or like...
Yeah.
Last night when I went to the theatre and I wanted to take a picture because it was my friend's show and I wanted to say this is great.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But other than that, I'm quite happy to leave my phone in the home.
Yeah.
And I just think, just go out, enjoy yourself. Why do you have to take pictures of it?
Yeah.
You know, hopefully you'll remember, well, you might not remember it. In fact, actually, when I was coming here, I said, you know what, how do I get to the Queen of Hoxton, which obviously I'm not in, because I got the wrong address. And the girl said, oh, I had my birthday there. And I said, so you must know where it was. And she went, I don't remember a single thing. I was like, okay, nice to meet you. Okay, bye.
Must have been a good night then.
Yeah, I was like, as long as you had a great birthday.
So I'll tell you what, I've not asked any guests this question before. But in regards to the times you've had clubbing, what's been the greatest night you've had at clubbing?
Oh my goodness.
I guess you shouldn't remember that anyway if it was that good.
Well, exactly. That's the sort of question that you can't remember. I do remember going to Ibiza when I was 19 and ending up in space for, I think I was there for about 2 days.
The nightclub, yeah? Not the place.
No, that was the night, the morning club. You know, the one that I think it opens about 4 a.m. and it goes on all day. And that was quite fun. And and my own birthday party when I was 30. I went to Strawberry Moons, which is just off Regent Street, and lots of my old friends turned up and everyone just danced to 80s music, so that was lovely. But yeah, I think, those two, that's kind of like a really unbalanced thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like one's completely bombed.
Raving in space and the other one doing your frenzied dance to Come On Eileen at Strawberry Moons.
And we were having sweeties at my party and then, So anyway, space was fun.
Excellent.
Have you been to space?
I have, yeah.
And?
I hated it.
Did you?
Mm.
When did you go?
2 years ago.
Well, there you go. And I went when I was 19.
I'd never been to Ibiza, and I'm a club promoter and have been for 27 years, so it made sense that at some point I should go to the clubbing capital of the world.
And I think it's completely changed.
And
so what, I'm 50 almost, so yeah.
And it was...
30 years ago I went. 25 years ago?
I was too old to go, first and foremost. I went with lots of people that had the best time ever. My wife being one of them, she absolutely adored it. I went to watch Carl Cox at Space, which everyone told me was the best thing you can see in space.
I DJed with Carl Cox in a toilet once.
Just drop that in.
Just thought I'd tell you. Well, I'm here.
So the last one you done, you was in a DJ booth with Susie Sue, and now you're in a toilet with Cole Cox. That's some good nights right there.
I always forget these things. You just bring them up.
How did you end up in a toilet with Cole Cox DJing?
It was Big Breakfast.
Oh, right.
He came in to do a segment, and they just said, oh, let's do something different. Do you want to DJ with them in the men's toilets? Of course. I just say yes to everything. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So, yeah. But yeah, carry on with space. Why do you not like it?
Do you know what? I don't do drugs. So a lot of people in there...
I think it's definitely a young person's thing.
And it is. And do you know what? I think by the time I'd got there, everybody was 20, looked incredible and had six packs. All right. When I was 20, no one had a six pack. No one. It weren't a thing, you know. I thought the music was awful.
But you know, I wouldn't want to go back. Mm. I'm really pleased I did it when I was 19 or whatever, because I was a kid and it was all new and fun and exciting. And no one had six packs. They were all crazy. They had like crazy like fur animals around their shoulder, old school Ibiza.
Yeah.
And kind of just doing mad things.
I didn't see any of that.
No, I wouldn't want to go back.
It was lots of kind of lad culture and there was things like, I struggle when people go to really hot places, and we went to a pool party at a place called, I can't think, but it was a Kistery thing, so it was all like retro dance music. Oh, that might be fun, I'll go along to that. And there was big swimming pools there, so I was like, great, it's fucking boiling, I'm gonna go for a swim. And all the girls that were there would get in the swimming pool to a little bit, wouldn't get their hair wet. And I just thought...
But you know what? I do that all the time. It's a nightmare.
I can imagine. But you know what I mean? If you're going to a fucking swimming pool, get in it.
I could not do any of those sort of things again. I'm glad I did it when I was young.
Yeah.
Because now I've got to the stage, I'm looking up holidays, just thinking, oh, I want to be up in a mountain.
Yeah.
Or I want to have a rucksack on my back.
Yeah.
Or, just learning something.
Absolutely.
I've done that when I was young.
Yeah.
I've now got a beautiful 16-year-old. Yeah. You've got your kids.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why I phone you up and I say, we're going on a road trip to Scotland. Where do we go?
I know, exactly.
All right, so I've asked you for track six to pick the favourite song from an artist from your hometown. And I don't think you could have been any more Scottish if you'd tried.
Donald, where's your tweezers?
What's his name?
I don't know who even sings it.
I can't think what the guy's
Andy
name
Stewart,
is.
I think it
That's
is.
It?
Right. Let the wind blow low, let the wind blow high through the streets. I'm going to do it. I'll do it in a minute. Because I'm going to laugh too much.
Right. Go for it.
No, you do it.
I'm not doing it.
No, do it in a Scottish accent.
No, I'm not. No, because my kids make me do a Scottish accent. They make me say Scotland all the time, right? Because when we were doing the road trip, I would say we're nearly in Scotland.
I wish I put out the words, but it's a let the wind blow low, let the wind blow high through the streets.
I can't remember.
Oh, the lassies say hello, Donald, where's your trousers?
It got released again in about 88, 89, didn't it? And I remember, like, that was the first time I'd heard it. So, obviously, he's Scottish. He's,
or the Proclaimers. Oh, I love the Proclaimers.
Amazing. And I know I've mentioned him before with Prince, but I believe that's Pip's favourite band.
Shut the front door.
Seriously.
He loved the Proclaimers.
He loves the Proclaimers.
When you go, send back a letter from America?
You've done that justice there as
I
well.
I know, didn't I? Did I do quite well?
Yeah.
Do you think I could get a record deal? No. I remember they were performing that when I went to see them at one of those big festival things.
Yeah.
And they were in a wee tent. And they were like, started singing it. And like, and when we go, will we send back, all right, Gail, a letter from... And I was in the crowd going, oh, hello. Just mid-song.
Yeah.
All right, Gail, a letter from America.
I think they're great.
I think they're just lovely. And they're lovely people. Have you met them?
I haven't, no. But like, I watched a thing. Did you watch the documentary on the iPlayer recently about Scottish music?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you'd love it.
I will do. What's it on? iPlayer.
Yes, it's BBC iPlayer.
Okay, I'll download it.
And it's all about Deacon Blue and
Deacon Blue. Ooh, ooh.
Simple Minds and I got to look at Claire Grogan, which is.
I saw her in Yo Sushi not that long ago.
Really?
She was there with her daughter.
I'm not going to lie,
still
right?
As beautiful.
I would lose my shit if I saw Claire Grogan.
Did you fall in love with her?
She's just the most beautiful thing ever.
She is beautiful and lovely and wonderful. And with Gregory's Girl.
Oh.
Love that film so much.
My missus will literally, if she comes on telly, she goes, oh, for Christ's sake, look at your dad, will you? And I'm just like, oh, look at her. She's amazing.
So
oh, altered images. Well, I mean, that was one of my first memories of Top of the Pops, seeing her doing
Happy Birthday,
yeah, and what, I Could Be Happy, and just thinking, oh, she just looks like just the best person ever. She just looks like loads of fun. She's super cool and beautiful. Yeah. Don't get me started on Claire Grogan. That'll be a whole podcast episode.
And that's a divorce. Yeah. I don't want to be doing that.
Okay. So, talking about your hometown, like, was there good live venues in Edinburgh when you was growing up?
Did you
see Madness and Susie in Edinburgh?
Yes, I did. It was the Playhouse and it was the top of Leith Walk, and that's pretty much where all the big gigs were happening. So I saw Madness there, Susie, Sade, and but now it kind of does lots of theatre stuff as well. So, yeah.
Is it now the Edinburgh Playhouse? Is that
that
venue?
Playhouse,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
sorry, because
do you know when I say the Playhouse?
No, I know.
Edinburgh,
sorry. Do you know
Can you put the two and two together? Yeah.
I'd work that out. What I meant to say was there?
Joking.
Is there the Edinburgh? Oh God, I'm going to sound like a nobby if I'm wrong.
No,
is there a picture house as well?
It used to be the fest. There was like a.
The what was horse, the? There was a live venue there recently that HMV bought out.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, God. I'm probably going to say the Edinburgh Playhouse again.
No, exactly.
I'm going to shut up talking about
yeah,
that now.
Stop talking. Have a sweetie.
Oh, do you know what? Let's do it. What one should we go for?
Haribo's.
Haribo's
Can
Star
we
Mix.
Say that?
Yeah.
What's that? Refresher Softies. I've
well,
never
look,
even
let's,
heard
let's
that.
Open them as well. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's have one of
so,
them.
So, for track 7,
yes.
You didn't send me a song for that. So
I didn't.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay, what was the track 7? Oh, yeah, I remember.
Refreshers Softies are really good.
Are they good?
Mm.
I just had a cola bottle.
A fizzy one or a...
No, not a fizzy one. Well, I should have a fizzy one.
They're fizzy.
Oh,
they're
are they?
Mm.
Sorry about that. Is that
chomping
good?
Down the mic. So, I want you to pick a song. I'm going to put you under pressure now off the top of your head. To go... A song that you think a lot of our listeners might not have heard that you adore and would like someone, if they haven't heard it, to go and have a listen. I'll give you a bit of time.
You're going to have to come back to me on that one.
I'll give you a bit of time.
I don't know, because you asked me that, and I've been thinking about it, and I can't think of anything.
I'll leave you with that for a bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I don't know.
Okay, so bringing it right up to now, what's your perfect night now?
Oh, staying at home. Being at home, watching Netflix, reading, and that's about it, really. I've always got my headphones on. I'm listening to Deadmau5 at the moment.
Nice.
Kind of loving that. Don't know if that's cool or not, but I like it. And yeah, I just like being at home. I've got to that stage where my daughter said to me the other day, she's like, how many pairs of pyjamas have you bought from Primark? I was like, yeah, like a month's worth. Because I just think every time I finish work or I've done something, I think in London, with the amount of tubes you have to get and running around, so lovely to be in your own place and just go, I can listen to my own music, I can think about my own things, and I've just finished my book, so I'm just like, I've just been writing for ages.
You finished a book about yourself?
Yeah. Did I not tell you?
No.
I waffle on about myself all the time. Like a narcissist.
Oh, really? So what's the story with it? Well, I know what the story is, right, but what's the score with it? Is it in regards to when's it coming out? And
We're thinking summer or next Christmas, because it's kind of, it's one of those things, you know, when you work on something for ages and people go, oh, get it out as soon as possible. And I think, no, I've lived this, so I will take my time and it will come out when it comes out. So it's kind of a lot about mental health and a lot about when I was sectioned and how you get treated and all that, just to like end this on a really happy note, yeah. And so, yeah. Oh, do you know what? I would say that song that you were asking me, what's his name? La Ritionelle?
I don't know.
Right, you're going to have to Google it because
okay.
I'm not going.
Right.
And it's a French artist and it's one of my favourite songs I listened to and I don't know who it's by, but I found it online.
Right.
Can you not Google it now?
I will have a look for
it. You have to do it now.
What I will say is...
But you can still keep talking to me, because
yeah,
I know you're a man, but you can try and do two things at once.
I'm not very good at that. but what we do with this as well, Gal, is we do a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast, so
okay.
We can put all the songs on there.
That'd be great.
And so people can go and listen
to it. How
exciting.
But,
this Wi-Fi is nonsense in here.
La Ritionelle. Yeah, that's how it is. That's what's called La Ritionelle.
Right,
but I
will
can't
find it.
The name of the artist.
I
write
will
it
find
down, because you'll forget.
It's on the podcast.
Oh my God, you know what? This is when I know that I'm single. I've just been sent a text from Domino's to say they've got an offer on tonight. I don't even eat pizza.
So, just to talk about the book for a little bit before we finish. How did you go about writing that? Did you pick certain parts of your life and then sort of start making points and memories and then dig into each one, or?
No, I actually started writing a diary quite a while back when I was going through troubled times.
Really?
And then I kept it. But, I mean, I've got a bag full of stuff and then I just kind of put it all together. And, yeah, it's not about anyone famous. No one's in it. It's just about how I dealt with being sectioned and what happened and how you come out the other end and then how you deal with being in places like Big Brother and how you get treated and stuff. Oh, Big Brother. You watching that?
I'm not, but I did see...
That woman's crazy, isn't she?
Maybe? I did see a little thing that everyone was talking about at work, about some guy walked past someone and pretended to kind of play fight her. And
yeah, oh, do you know what? Good luck to them all. But yeah, so anyway, that's the book. It's all about kind of like going through that. And then, you know, I was hanging out with two people that thought they were Jesus when I was sectioned. And you come out the other end and yeah.
Start going hunting for ghosts with people that think they're reincarnations of people.
And then you wonder why you've gone crazy for a bit. You're going, yeah, no, I was definitely in a bedroom with Elvis, his ghost. Or that woman that said to me that I was not going to have sex. Do you remember? I did
yep.
That one? Yeah. So, So it's all about that. But it's quite personal. So it's more about my feelings about everything and also the way that people treat. It's a little bit like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, but I think it...
Meets Trainspotting, meets Girl Interrupted, all mixed in together. So it's very honest. And,
I'd expect nothing less than honest, Gal, because...
you know, in the short time I've known you, every time you've come on a podcast or we've hung out, you've just been beautifully honest, and there's never any agenda. It's just good chat, you know, with a nice person.
That's very kind of you.
And
well,
so,
I hope so. I just think, do you know what? What's the point of not being yourself?
Absolutely.
There is no point. You have to just be yourself. And if people don't like you, they don't like you.
Yeah.
People like you, they like you. And I like you. And I'm here. And I'm going to get all emotional now. I'm
and you brought me sweets.
And I brought you sweets. And I'm not going to try that refresher because I'm kind of like scared that it's going to make my tongue all fuzzy.
It might. It might. It's quite strong. Gal, thanks loads for coming and seeing me today. It's been lovely to see you.
Thank you so much. I wish we could talk. Do you know I could? You know I could talk for days.
I know you can. I know you can. We'll stop recording and we'll talk some more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers, darling. There you go. I told you you'd enjoy that one. How nice is Gal? Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I really am. And thanks for listening to the end. I had no doubt that you would, because she's always got plenty of fun stuff to say, and she's super interesting. So if you enjoyed that, go and have a little look in the back catalogue, and there's plenty of other great guests that have had amazing journeys, and obviously, as you know now, that's the idea of this podcast. We delve into their upbringings and their life today, and predominantly focus on the songs that have soundtracked that and their creativity and how that's come to fruition. So thanks again for listening, and I will see you next week for another episode. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.